Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Amen.
To the average person, a normal conversation is not one had about circumcision. And we don't in this country normally connect somebody getting their name to being circumcised. But this is a normal act among our Jewish friends. At the time of the birth of Jesus, the eighth day meant circumcision and naming, and it's still practiced to this day. Because God said in Genesis 17, You shall be circumcised in the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and you. He who is 8 days old among you shall be circumcised, every male throughout your generation. So as Elizabeth and Zechariah did for John 6 months earlier, as Luke has recorded, in the eighth day they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him Zechariah after his father, but his mother answered, "No, he shall be called John." Now it's the eighth day after Christmas, after the birth of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we find ourselves where we always find ourselves, in the Christian church, on the first day of the new year, with Jesus being named and circumcised. We know that circumcision counts for nothing, nor does uncircumcision any longer, as St. Paul tells us, but it was necessary for Jesus, as it marks him as a descendant of Abraham, and it prefigures the efficacy of baptism for us all. In preparing for the text for today, I came upon a rather lengthy quote, and I hope you don't mind it, but from 5th century church leader Cyril of Alexandria. Cyril comments on our text, "St. Paul says neither circumcision counts for anything nor uncircumcision. On the eighth day Christ rose from the dead and gave us the spiritual circumcision. He then commanded the holy apostles, 'Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.' And we affirm that the spiritual circumcision takes place chiefly in holy baptism, when Christ makes us partakers of the Holy Spirit also," or too. It was kind of interesting in reading and through some of the commentaries and comments, I got to, and I hope none of you use this Bible, but I got to a Skoll reference Bible. And they immediately said you cannot equate baptism with circumcision, which makes Paul a liar, and obviously makes Cyril a liar, and every faithful teacher says. But going on with Cyril's quote, "Of this Joshua, that Jesus of old, who became the leader of the Israelites after Moses, was also a type. He led the children of Israel across the Jordan, then made them stop and immediately circumcised them with knives of stone. So when we have crossed the Jordan, Christ circumcises us with the power of the Holy Spirit, not by purifying the flesh, but rather by cutting off the defilement that is in our souls. On the eighth day, therefore, Christ was circumcised, and as I said, received his name. We were saved by him and through him, because in him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands, by putting off the body of flesh in the circumcision of Christ. And you were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him. His death, therefore, was for our sake, as were also his resurrection and his circumcision. For he died so that we shall also live together with him." I'm sorry, I skipped. He is said to have died to sin, not because he had sinned, for he was without sin, neither was guile found on his lips. But because of our sins, therefore, just as we died together with him, when he died, we will also rise together with him." Cyril continues, "After Jesus' circumcision, the rite was abolished by the introduction of baptism, of which circumcision was a type. For this reason, we are no longer circumcised. It seems to me that circumcision achieved three distinct ends. In the first place, it separated the descendants of Abraham by a sort of a sign and seal and distinguished them from all other nations. Second, it prefigured in itself the grace and efficacy of divine baptism. Formerly, a male who was circumcised was included among the people of God by virtue of that seal. Nowadays, a person who is baptized and has formed in himself Christ the seal becomes a member of God's adopted family. Third, circumcision is a symbol of the faithful when they are established in grace as they cut away and mortify the tumultuous raising of carnal pleasures and passions by the sharp surgery of faith and by aesthetic labors. They do this not by cutting the body, but by purifying the heart. They do this by being circumcised in the spirit and not in the latter. Their praise, as St. Paul testifies, needs not the sentence of any human tribunal, but depends upon the decree from God. Now, I don't want you to be confused by Cyril's words here. Jesus' name, and he does, when he refers to him as Joshua, of old, he's referring to Joshua the prophet, but he's also referring to Jesus, because that would have been Jesus in Hebrew. You're aware of that, right? His Hebrew name would have been Joshua, his Greek name is Jesus, and we English, we like to call him Jesus. I pray this doesn't confuse you even more, though. But this morning, we look at Luke's single verse to begin this new year, and Luke continues giving us his researched historical account. Today is the eighth day after Jesus' birth, and so it is time that he is named and he is circumcised, which again proves that Jesus is not a myth or a spirit, because you don't circumcise spirits or myths. No, you circumcise male Jews, babies, on the eighth day. And so Jesus being circumcised also teaches us that he came to fulfill the law, not to abolish it. This he is undergoing on our behalf. Circumcision was the only mark permitted on the flesh of a free Jew. Any other marks were signs of bondage and slavery. God commanded circumcision. This is a sign of the covenant between God and his chosen people. The ritual of waiting to name the baby was added by tradition, and so the eighth day Joseph takes the baby Jesus to the temple as the law required. The eighth day is also a sign of eternity in the Old Testament, and for us a sign of the new creation, the day of the resurrection. And so Jesus first shed his blood on the eighth day, not the Sabbath day, the seventh day. Nor did he do it on his bar mitzvah at 12 years of age or his rabbinical speaking age of 30 years of age. No, God commanded the eighth day because this covenant is never about our choice, but about God's choosing us. Now in Jesus, the covenant with Abraham to be a blessing to all families of the earth is fulfilled. Jesus' circumcision then fulfills for all the old covenant, and we now in the new covenant are established with a different type of circumcision, one not made with human hands, as we've already talked about from Cyril, and Paul deals with rather eloquently on our behalf, one that requires only the blood of Jesus and not our blood, the sacrament of holy baptism. Thus, even our rationalistic Christian friends need to see that infant baptism is proper, since for the Israelites, circumcision was performed on the eighth day after the birth. There was no waiting for the child to decide to be circumcised. Therefore, we Lutherans reject the teachings that God regards children as innocent before the application of the word and baptism, formula of concord, which is what St. Paul is proclaiming when he writes to the church at Colossae. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision not made with hands, by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the power and working of God who raised him from the dead. God then commanded the observance of the eighth day, and Mary and Joseph, devout as they were in their faith, adhered to God's word. Isn't it amazing how Jesus, fulfilling of the law for us as the lawgiver, subjects himself to the law that we might receive the full rights as sons? The name Jesus, Joshua or Jesus, is a confession, as it quickly explains why Jesus is born. It literally means Yahweh saves. This is what Jesus does. He comes to take away the sins of the world. Jesus is the true Israelite, the perfect Jew, who alone kept the law perfectly for all of us. He is the God-man, the Son of the Covenant, the only one who could have passed through the animals when the covenant was struck with Abraham, and yet he suffers the animal's fate as a covenant breaker. His circumcision continues our Lord's humiliation for us. As the Word that was in the beginning became flesh and dwells among his people, willingly subjecting himself to the law of God, his own law, as the shedding of his precious blood, and this bleeding points us forward to the day when his blood is poured out for the world on a Roman cross. This eight-day-old infant is the only one who can save his people from their sins. This Jesus is the Lamb of God who must be sacrificed. There is only one whose blood is able to atone for the sins of all, the very Son of God, whose name says it all, Yahweh saves. There is only one who could do and does shed his blood for all the sins of the world, and on the third day raise all the sinners of the world with him. Jesus, the only begotten Son of God, is here in a little baby, and yet he is the Savior. So circumcision was a mark of the relationship God would be their God, and that his people would be his people. Jesus, the Son of God, came then to fulfill what it means to be a child of God by his perfect life, being ever faithful to the Father's will, even to the point of his own death on a cross, in opposition to, well, our lack of faithfulness to the Father's will, even to the point of not wanting to get up in the morning, or whatever other silliness keeps us away from the Word of God and the services of God's house. We enter this new covenant and become God's children through our union to Jesus, the Christ. And through his means of grace, the Word of God, and the sacraments, we are given what he has done. In his circumcision, our hearts are now circumcised through water and the Word. In baptism, we are joined to all Jesus is for us, baptized into his death as we die and rise in Jesus' resurrection. We, through God-given faith, now live in Jesus. At his table, our Jesus pours out his lifeblood for you and for me, as his very body and blood are the food of our forgiveness, of our life now and our life for all eternity. Jesus is our salvation. When the world and our flesh and the devil have you on the ropes, think of this sentence. And at the end of 8 days, when he was circumcised, he was called Jesus, the name given by the angel before he was conceived in the womb. Never forget, in this 8-day-old baby boy named Jesus, all that we need, no matter what 2019 has before it for us. For whether we live or whether we die, we are the Lord's, solely by grace, through faith, on account of Christ alone. Therefore, we live in Jesus now, and then one day, when we die, or when our Lord Jesus returns, we shall have nothing to fear. For Jesus has done it all, so that we may live with Him for all eternity. See why He has given the name Yahweh Saves? In Jesus, we have life and it everlasting. In His precious name, amen.
Amen.
Happy New Year, and God bless. Amen. And now may the peace which passes all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.